Since Epiphany is the festival of light, I thought I'd lighten up the mood a little bit with a joke. Here it goes. How many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? It would only take one if they're willing to change it. No? Okay. Tough crowd. All jokes aside, even though that was just a joke, it still reveals a difficult reality. Change is hard. For you parents out there, I suspect you're either painfully aware currently, or you remember vividly what it was like to deviate just a little bit from the bedtime schedule. Chaos, right? Even the littlest of children depend on structure, whether they are aware of it or not, because without it, the world becomes chaotic, unpredictable, and stressful. That desire for the familiar goes beyond just the world of the bedroom, though, doesn't it? It even extends to our family here at Faith. We do things a certain way because that's how we've always done them. And after all, it worked once, and then surprisingly, it worked again. So why change it? But the tendency to do what worked, especially at church, shouldn't be surprising, because many people often and accurately call church their home. And one of the benefits about being at home is that everything is predictable. You know where things are supposed to be. You know how things work. You know how things go. There's comfort in predictability, just like there's discomfort in losing the remote and looking for your keys and the chores not being done on time. And believe me, I know what it's like to come into a church family and see change, because for these past few months, I've been the embodiment of change. How does this new guy fit in? What new things will this new guy bring to our context that we haven't done before? It's scary. A change in bedtime routine is jarring. A new pastor walking through familiar halls is jarring. But those two things pale in comparison when compared to the complete cultural upheaval that was the first Gentile Christmas. And you heard that right, Gentile Christmas. And I'm not just making things up. I'm not making up holidays to stretch out the season a little bit further or to excuse the Christmas music that's still playing on the radio. No, Gentile Christmas, better known as the Festival of Epiphany, is one of the oldest festivals in Christian church history because it commemorates the day that the light of life dawned on the non-Israelite world that sat in dark spiritual ignorance for so long. That, my friends, is jarring. Let me put it in perspective for you. I want you to imagine you're in a dark room. You could be in a theater, you could be in a basement, or in the early morning, late evening bedroom, whatever you like. You know how it goes. You open your eyes, you can see nothing for a minute. But then your eyes slowly begin to adjust. The little light that's around lets you see just vague shadows. And then as soon as you're able to make your way through the room, that's when someone turns on the light and bam, it's right in your face. You know how it feels, right? You have to lift up your hands, your eyes scrunch in protest. And if you're like me, your voice states the painfully obvious, "Whoa, that's bright." In those moments, the light is uncomfortable because you got used to the darkness. And the light was such a strong contrast to the darkness that it was hard to handle. This dark-to-light contrast was what it was like that first Epiphany. You heard the story just a little bit earlier. A group of well-to-do foreigners arrive in an extremely xenophobic city whose nationality, culture, and occupation are considered unclean. They walk up to the city's clean king and demand that the king tell them where a peasant boy has been born. Then after navigating some Jewish politics, they finally make it to the little boy's humble hovel of a home And when they finally see the boy, they bow down and worship him as the God of all creation and present him with gifts fit for a prophet, a priest, and a king. And then, as quickly as you please, they get up, turn back around, go the long way home, and then when they finally arrive in their country, they begin to proclaim that this little boy from Podunk, Judah, was the true deity that all the generations across the world had been longing for so long. Wow. That's bright. That's enough to make anyone shield their eyes and retreat back to the darkness. And many have. Throughout the world, but especially in this country, you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who hasn't at least glimpsed the light of life, who hasn't at least heard about Jesus. And yet, even though many, if not all, have seen and heard at least a little bit, they are, as to quote the Apostle John, lovers of darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. For us human beings who have the unfortunate displeasure of receiving from our parents a sinful nature as a conception gift, this light is not normal. This light is not natural. This light of life is a dramatic change. By nature, we love darkness. By nature, we thrive in darkness, because in the darkness, we can hide. In the darkness, we can live the way that we want to live. What happens in the dark stays in the dark until the light reveals it. And that's what the word epiphany means. It means revealed. On the first epiphany, the wise men got the revelation of God right in front of their face, and they took it back to their own country to reveal the wisdom of God once more. But this revelation brought a recognition that we, human beings, are sinful and need a Savior. And wouldn't you know it, we're still shielding our eyes, we're still retreating back to the darkness, still pretending that who we are and what we do isn't so bad, and that if hell is really what the Bible says it is, then it's a dramatic and gross overreaction by a God whose love and justice should be questioned. Yet, while the light of the law was unveiled at first Gentile Christmas, the revelation of Epiphany didn't stop there. Yes, the light revealed our sin and our love for darkness, but it was more than that. It also revealed God's solution to sin, our Savior. Because it turns out that that little baby born in Bethlehem wasn't just revealed by the light. He is the light. He's the one that shows us our sins and shows us what those actions really are, disgusting deeds of darkness. But he also shows us who he really is. Not a God that we need to shield our eyes from, but a God that came down to earth in human flesh to be just like us so that we might see God, be with God, and not die, but live. And here's the beauty of that light. It shines. It shines, and there's nothing you can do about it. Its brightness and brilliance doesn't depend on our believing, our trusting, our deciding, or our accepting. Jesus is who he says he is and has done what he said he's done, whether we acknowledge it or not. And that's the true gift of this Gentile Christmas. The light of faith that shines in your heart is not from you, but it's from a God who put it there. You did not choose Jesus. Jesus chose you. You did not welcome Jesus into your heart. Jesus came to you. And while this might seem like an insignificant distinction, it makes all the difference in the world. Because though you have the power to reject Jesus, you do not have the power to welcome Jesus. Just like you have the power to close the blinds and turn off the lights, but you have no real power to make the light go. You can block it, but you can't produce it. In the same way, your faith, your place in God's kingdom, your worthiness of eternal life is not dependent on you. Instead, it depends completely on the light that shines on you. You are the moon to Jesus' sun. You reflect the light. If Jesus shines, you shine. If Jesus lives, you live. Jesus chose before the creation of the world to give you eternal life. And that's something we would never known in the darkness, never known on our own. It had to be revealed to us. And it was on Epiphany. And even now, that light shines in the darkness, and that darkness has not overcome it. No, in fact, the light has overcome the darkness, because that's what light does. You could have eternal darkness, but if one light appears, that darkness flees. And the darkness has fled, because the light of life shines in this world, and you have been made lights by that light of life. Stay close to that light and you will shine. Stay close to that light and you will see the darkness of sin in your life begin to ebb away. But if you stay distant from the light and lurk in the shadows, you'll notice that the faith, that light of faith in your heart grows dimmer and dimmer as the darkness pulls you back down to the comfortable depths. And as you shine, remember this. You were not made to be a light for your own sake, but for each other's sake. Every day is a Gentile Christmas. It's an epiphany for those who shine with the light of Christ, because no matter where they go, they are revealing the love of God to the world. That's true for you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you have the privilege of reflecting that light. Though it might seem simplistic, that childhood song, "This Little Light of Mine," might be a little bit more profound than we originally thought. When you let this little light of mine shine, you are showing the world the light of life that brings salvation to all mankind. If you hide it under a bushel of irreverence, arrogance, or lovelessness, well, you keep that light from doing what it was designed to do, to shine. As you go all around the neighborhood and beyond, you can be comforted that the working and efficacy of the light, that doesn't depend on you either. You need not fear reflecting. Because something that reflects isn't doing anything, it's just being. Reflecting Jesus is what you've been made to be. And you are reflecting the light that was shown the first Epiphany, and that's shown ever since. That light is strong enough to shine through even you to whoever you encounter to show them your Savior. You reflect the sun. And nothing more. And if it happens that through you someone sees Jesus and they prefer the darkness, it's neither your fault nor your responsibility to change the light to make it less offensive. No. The light shines. That's between the darkness and the light. That's between them and Jesus. However, if through you Jesus brings someone from the depths of darkness to the light of life, consider yourself blessed that the Almighty God chose you for such a task. The light appearing in your life was a change. The light shining in your heart through faith, that was a change. a light that continues to shine through you to the world, that's a change too, a change just as jarring as the wise men showing up in Jerusalem all those years ago. However, even though change might be jarring, it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. God chose you to be part of the light, to receive it, and to reflect it, just like he chose the wise men, just like he chose our fathers and grandfathers and our forebears, all the way back to Adam and Eve. They too reflected the light. May that true light that came into the world the first Christmas and was revealed to the world the first Epiphany always shine in us and through us as we live as those chosen by the light to be a light. Amen.